this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, June 2018 edition. So, just a recap from last week, we are on the cover of this edition is Michael B. Jordan, and we're going to take a look at up close and personal with our fave babe. We may have time to cover that this time around, but there's some other interesting topics that I want to get to. And looks like that last week we stopped at the issues, 10 things we're talking about. We stopped at number 5, so we're going to do 6 through 10 and then move on to some other interesting topics that we have. And again, like I said, hopefully we can get to the Michael B. Jordan story. But if not this week, then we'll certainly get to it next week. Number 6, quote, I am not suggesting that diversity cannot do good work, but it has to be combined with justice. Diversity without structural transformation simply brings those who are previously excluded into a system as racist, as misogynist as it was before. End quote. Angela Davis talking to a Charlottesville, Virginia audience about the impact of political movements. Number 7, representation matters. A recent report by Women's Media Center focuses on the challenges faced by minority women in newsrooms. The Status of Women of Color in the U.S. News Media 2018 proposes that companies alter their recruiting practices to boost the number of workers from their marginalized group, of which only have 2.16% are in leadership positions. Number 8, Alabama rising. Flipping a Senate seat in Alabama was just a start for its liberal constituents. According to Democratic officials, nearly 36 black women are running for office in the state and county judicial races or for seats in the Senate legislature. The party hopes this unprecedented number will spur a wave of political activism. Number 9, simply marvelous. Wakanda's favorite female warriors are getting some much-deserved shine in a comic book due out this month. The Dora Milaje, tasked with protecting King T'Challa in Marvel's Black Panther, plays a leading role in Wakanda Forever. Amazing Spider-Man, the first of 3-part series penned by award-winning author Nnedi Okafor. And number 10, pay us what you owe us. Women in New Jersey now have a legal entitlement to pay equity. In April, Governor Phil Murphy signed the Diane B. Allen Equal Pay Act, which makes it unlawful for employers to compensate women less than men for substantially similar work. Some proponents of the bill says it will also help minorities find success in pay discrimination cases. Next article that we're going to cover is titled Money and Power, Party of One, the wallet-friendly solo travel destinations for black women. Solo travel can be more than just an encounter with new people, and places present a chance for self-reflection. Entrepreneur Claire Soares experienced this firsthand when she visited Paris alone in 2011. As a founder of Up in the Air Life, a luxury travel company, she says going on trips by herself may forge a new world view. I went to coffee shops and sat there hearing French people around me, people watching and taking a mental break from everything in my life to be in that moment. It was amazing, she says. An unfamiliar setting might also help heal pain and trauma, as Ismira H., a legal assistant who has visited 22 countries on her own, found out. When you surround yourself with intrigue and new stimuli, your brain is constantly working. There's not a lot of room for being down. When we take a vacation alone and traverse uncharted territory, we typically end up discovering something new about ourselves. These affordable destinations provide the perfect opportunity to detach from the everyday and reconnect with your life. Fort Lauderdale, for the starter soloist, after revamping its image from a prime spring break location for college students to cosmopolitan beach setting for discerning folks, the South Beach city has emerged as a more economical and appealing option to its well-known neighborhood, Miami. Fort Lauderdale has great beaches, beautiful water, inexpensive hotels, and a lot of stuff to do, says Soares, who rents a reasonably priced timeshare apartment during her stays. Annual events like the Wilton Manor's Stonewall Pride Parade and Festival make the city a popular spot for the LGBTQ community. Low-cost functions such as Destination Fridays at the African American Research Library and Cultural Center honor the influence of communities of color. Stroll through the Swap Shop, a massive market, an entertainment complex that has a drive-in movie theater, and more than 2,000 vendors. So discount shopping addicts can get their fix. Try a free Saturday morning surfing lesson, courtesy of Island Water Sports in nearby Deerfield Beach. Then you also can tour the Everglades or set sail on a riverboat cruise to see the waterways that have earned the area its nickname, Venice of America. New York City, for the non-planner, anyone who has reveled in the magic of the Big Apple, including the record 62.8 million tourists who went last year, can always take something to enjoy there. It's the best place I can think of for solo travelers because you don't have to plan anything. All you've got to do is walk outside, says Tamika Anderson, founder of Single Parents Who Travel, an online group of more than 3,000 members. Explore beyond Manhattan's usual sights. You can go window shopping at the upscale retail stores in the coolest, the transportation hub, some call an architectural wonder. You can also visit the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens, where admission is free on Fridays from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Or get tickets for the annual Afrofunk Festival in Brooklyn. And they start out at $50. You can also head to Harlem and indulge in soul food, fusion, and good music at Red Rooster, co-owned by celebrity chef Marcus Samuelson. Anderson suggests, intimidated by New York's tough reputation, in a city, you have to protect yourself and look where you're going. She advises, keep your eyes open. Trust that the people who are talking to themselves are crazy. Move along and enjoy yourself. That's it. And then for London, for the first time abroad, don't be put off by the UK's capital pricey rep. The city is walkable, and when it's not, an $87 travel card for a week of getting around on buses and the subway, it's called the Underground or the Tub or the Tube there, makes sightseeing easy and cost effective. London is a lovely city to travel to alone, and it has a vibrant Afropin community, nightlife, and art scene, says Aich. Stop by the Africa Century and Black Cultural Archives, which houses large collections of information on Black Brits. Up your vacay's wow power with the 125-day trip to Windsor Castle. Bathe in Stonehenge and take in the shopping at Portobello Road Market, where more than 1,000 vendors offering food, fashion, and antiques line the street on the weekends. And if you want some company, connect with a Black Londoner or an expat group like UK and USA Black Connections on Meetup. Belfast, for the history aficionado, this Northern Ireland capital city is small enough to allow visitors to tour on foot as they absorb its past and delight in its present. From the Ulster Museum of the Titanic, Belfast, inexpensive meals at iconic taverns are a good excuse for pub crawling. What makes it an especially great place for black women to travel solo? According to Aich, it's the area's unexpected but evident reverence for people of African descent. When I announced that I was American, I had people kissing my hand and giving me the extra Irish pour on my alcohol. My taxi driver didn't charge me and thank me for our struggle. It was so moving, particularly, she admits, because she had braced herself to encounter stereotypical racism. The good vibes extend to black taxi tours, which explores hundreds of political murals depicting global movements, including those led by freedom fighters like Nelson Mandela. Phuket, for the beach enthusiasts. Located in southwest Thailand, this haven is choke full of enriching activities. Big Buddha, a world-famous attraction, is visible from most venues on the island. And Thalang Road is filled with authentic shopping, food, and architecture. Luxury retreats like the Westin Sarai Bay Resort and Spa and Kathalini Phuket Beach Resort might be high-end, but prices can start at less than $110 per night in mid-June on travel booking sites like TripAdvisor. If you crave the beach, Hat Bang Theo is a nearly 5-mile stretch of flirtation between white sand and aquarium water. The full-service restaurants and massage spots make traveling on your own peaceful without any feelings of isolation. The nightlife along Bangla Road is a buffet of live music, dancing, and parties. And in this friendly town, you can go it alone or find a partner. If you did a week in Phuket, you would have a pretty jam-packed itinerary, says Soares, who lists the city as a solo travel favorite because of its accessibility and safety. Marrakech, for the soul searcher. The urban jewel of central Morocco is as much of an adventure as an out-of-towner wants it to be. The metropolis is home to bathhouses called hammams and luxury spas like the five-star La Momenia. Visitors can release quiet, even vacillar moments at the historic palaces around the city or on a day trip to Azad Falls. For cultural seekers, Jemma El Nia, the outdoor epic center of local shopping, is bustling with food markets, henna artists, even snake charmers. It overloads the senses in the best possible way, says Anderson. To save on airfare, she added Marrakech to her travel schedule in 2012 after visiting Spain. One downside for Anderson was occasional catcalling, but on the whole, her trip was wonderful, whether you're there to relax or have some fun. Taking a hot air balloon ride at sunrise is a must, she says. It's incredible, even mystical, Anderson continues. You'll feel like you're on top of the world, and the best news is the tour companies take care of almost everything. All you do is show up. So those are some good, nice places to visit if you want to travel solo. So on to another article, Path to Power, Leading at Work. In the driver's seat, Christina Amari's journey up the corporate ladder to Lyft wasn't a solo trip. Thanks to her thriving support and system of college friends and mentors. When Lyft, the company behind the ride-hailing app, searched for its first VP of Corporate Development and Investor Relations late last year, Christina Amari wasn't a tough sale. After cutting her teeth at heavyweights such as Hewlett-Packard and Adobe, as well as startups like Fitbit, the Stanford University graduate was more than poised to play a pivotal role in harnessing Lyft's recent runaway growth. She understands how relationship building strengthens business and benefits one's own career. Here she shares how maintaining a broad network has enabled her to go ahead. So it looks like in this article, Essence is asking her some questions and then she's responding to the question, such as, what are your responsibilities as a vice president? Her response is, in corporate development, we think about our strategy and how to accelerate it through partnerships and acquisitions. I am always looking at what's next for the company and trying to ensure that we have the right resources and capabilities to pursue those opportunities. What excites you about working at Lyft? The company is fundamentally changing how we view transportation. Earlier this year, I rode in one of our first autonomous vehicles in 5 or 10 years. These vehicles might actually be on the road, and how we think about getting from point A to point B might be totally transformed. How has it been for you as a Black woman in STEM, also referred to as science, technology, engineering, and math? Her answer is, at Stanford, we had a strong network of Black students studying engineering, and we supported one another. I'm still close friends with many of them. I couldn't have made it through without the guidance and support of my tribe. Beyond making strong connections within the Black community, many of my mentors have not been female or Black. And I think it's important to be able to find mentors and leaders in your company who can be supportive. Your reputation and the network you build are critical to your career. So what's your key to networking effectively? I didn't appreciate doing it like I should have in my first or second job. However, I've reconnected with people from some of those jobs and thanked them for their support that they provided in order to rebuild those relationships. Tell us about Build Up, the nonprofit you co-founded. A few years ago, I joined an all-female angel investing group in San Francisco. Angel investing is a crucial part of early stage companies getting initial capital to build their prototypes and even have the option to make their businesses viable. Upon entering this field, I saw just how few founders there were who looked like me. As a result, I, along with two others, launched Build Up. In 2015, we did a pilot version of the program in which we assisted six founders who represented diverse groups, Black, Latino, LGBTQ, or veterans. We wanted to give them a head start in getting their businesses off the ground. I hope to continue working with startup creators and ushering them to the next level. So finally, looks like that we're going to get to it today with Michael B. Jordan. And the title of this article is The Fire Next Time. In HBO's 451 or Fahrenheit 451, Michael B. Jordan plays a young man compelled to save the written word at all costs. In real life, he's as focused on creating his own stories and making every movement count or moment count. Sitting down in a quaint sushi restaurant in downtown Philadelphia in March, Michael B. Jordan is keenly aware and aware a man nearby has pulled his phone out in attempt to sneak a picture. There will be five more times Jordan notices people snapping photos as he sits for this interview. I wish they would just come by and say, "What's up?" Instead of sneaking pictures, he says, sighing. Such is the new life of an actor whose turn as one of the most memorable villains is one of the biggest films of all times. Jordan's supernova now. It may seem as if the 31-year-old's meteoric rise happened overnight, but Jordan's trajectory has been on course for years. Pre-Killmonger fans have obsessed over his TV characters such as Wallace from The Wire, Vince from Friday Night Lights, and even young Reggie from All My Children. Then there's the work Jordan did after crossing paths with writer-director Ryan Coogler, reminiscent of the synergy between Denzel Washington and Spike Lee. Jordan and Coogler's work in critically acclaimed films, 2013's Fruitvale Station and 2015's Creed, was only the start of a partnership that would steamroll into this year's juggernaut, Black Panther. Now, the pride of Newark, New Jersey is on an independent streak. Up first, Jordan leads and executive produces HBO's adaptation of Fahrenheit 451. Ray Bradbury's 1953 dystopian novel about a future American society in which books were outlawed and burnt by firemen. In his role as favorite fireman Guy Mantag, Jordan's hell-bent on serving justice. That is until he starts questioning everyone around him, even himself. Off camera, Jordan's secure in his career. He has three films in production. Legacy, I Want People to Say He Made an Impact, and Heart. Yes, Black Women, He Loves You. And so we're now it looks like the remaining of this article is questions that Essence is asking Jordan, Michael B. Jordan, and he's responding to it, such as the first one. I know you're here in Philadelphia gearing for Creed 2, and we'll get deeper into that in a second. But let's talk about Fahrenheit 451. When did you end up shooting that? I know you've been crazy busy since Black Panther. And his response is, I shot Fahrenheit last summer, so almost a full year ago. It's one of those projects I was a little hesitant about taking because I'd be playing an authoritative figure. A lot of my characters really come from our perspective, more of an oppressed point of view. So being an oppressor is, in a sense, it didn't sit well with me. I was like, I don't know, man. But then I met the director, Raymond Bahari, and saw his vision and the message he was trying to send. And I was all for it, to take a role like Guy Mantag and spin it on its head and put it in the not too near future, or to the near future. Especially with the guy we have in office right now, this could be a real thing, a real good thing, real soon. Exactly. Just to be a part of that message, man, to be a part of that piece of art, that could be milestone moment and in time. We're extremely important to me, and being able to executive produce it as well as was essential. To go from being hired as an actor on The Wire, then to be able to become a co-produce a movie on HBO was great. Was your production company Outlier Society involved in Fahrenheit 451? No, this was already in the works. Got it. So tell me about your company. I want my company to be a reflection of my career, diverse, universal, and progressive, and have a lot of heart. I'm into sci-fi. I'm into fantasy and escapism. I look forward to the future, but I want to create more opportunities in entertainment, period, for all walks of life, but especially for people of color and women. I just want to tell stories with a fresh take, fresh POV. Representation is really important. Who really inspired you to step behind the camera and be more active in generating your own projects? Peter Berg. He's actually the creator of the TV series Friday Night Lights. He sat me down one day like, Mike, one day you're going to want to stop waiting on phone calls, and you're going to want to start calling the shots. You're going to get tired of being told what to do, he said. The key is ownership. Write, create, own it. Then go ahead and get more power and more control. And that way, if somebody ever tells you you're not hot right now, it's never going to stop your movement. It's not going to stop your growth. It's not going to stop your success. It's not going to stop your impact on the game. I took that to heart, and I ran with it at a real young age. I've just been building and building and building ever since. That's powerful, man. I noticed you were one of the first people to announce adopting inclusion riders for your company. Actually, I think you were the first. Why was that critical? Actions speak louder than words. I want to lead by example. I know I had an opportunity with the shows and projects I had coming up to put it put it to work, it's important to have diversity that both in front of and behind the camera. And inclusion riders make sure that anyone who does business with my company knows that we expect there to be people of color, women, LGBT folks, and people with disabilities in key positions on our crews and production staffs. What are some other ways you try to be an ally for women outside of your company? I'm raised by strong women. When you see me something that's wrong or unfair or unjust, as a man, you've got to step up and help those who are not speaking up for themselves. And when they are, they need support. Since the majority of people in power are men, when we speak up, it gives them firmer ground to stand on when we support them. I'm not the poster boy for it. I'm not the guy who's trying to get in every cause. But at the same time, when they call me for help, I'm there. I've got a lot of strong women in my life, actors, producers, writers, friends, family. And if they ever need me for anything, they could hit me up. I'm going to be there to support them. Just thinking about all that, all these strong women in your life, how was that growing up? My grandmother, man, G-ball, man, sitting me down and making me read the 23rd Psalm, memorizing that and the 91st Psalm to, boy, get your out in the front yard and get me a switch. That's how I was raised, man. And my mom having lupus, but being the backbone and heart of my family, always having a smile on her face and always being there for us and finding a way to make ends meet along with my dad. They accomplished the impossible. It gave me a respect for women. It gave me an appreciation for their emotions, for their heart, for their spirit, for their intuition. With you having all these strong black women in your life, how did your family respond to the rumors about you not dating black women? My family and everybody laughed about it. So funny to everybody because it couldn't be further from the truth. Anybody who knows me knows I like women, period, especially my sisters. My dad and my mom both said if they only knew, if they only knew. And that's the thing that keeps me not tripping about it. You know what I mean? I'm human. And the thing about it that bothers me most is when it's your own people who want to believe something that's far from the truth. You know what I'm saying? Look at my work. Look at what I do. Look at what I'm about as a person. Look at my upbringing, my cultural, where I come from. How could I not love and appreciate my own race? Does it make you more hesitant, especially now knowing that this rumor is out there? Are you more conscious of who you might be seen with? Unfortunately, a little bit. It makes me hesitant about whoever I'm seen with. I'm finally starting to get to a place now where I don't care. But it bothered me for a minute. It made me more conscious of things I say and how I move and what could happen if I leave a club or a restaurant or the movies. If I leave anywhere, any known place with anybody, there's going to be speculation. If it's a woman, it's going to be put under a microscope for everybody to pick apart and make the assumptions. And the trolls go at it. And all of a sudden, it's truth. It's the cost of being in the position that I'm in. And you just got to be aware of it. It sucks, but it is what it is. We're not finished with this, but it looks like we're out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. So I'm Nicole Hunter reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.